Hi, everybody, and welcome to another Lotto Line podcast sponsored by TitleFish.com. I'm down here at the Kipta Peak Inn with Captain Pete Dahlberg, otherwise known as Captain Walleye Pete. How you doing tonight, Pete? You just got off the water. You had a good day today?
Had a great day. Just about every day down at the CBBT is good.
That's true.
It might not be TitleFish guys spoiled good, but a lot of days are, every day is very good. You catch a lot of fish, get the sticks bent, and we've been getting surges of big fish in and surges of big fish out, but it's been good. Today was a good day.
Yeah, today was good. So you've been down here since November 9th, I think. It's December 29th. You fished 20 straight days, I think, in a row. You were sleeping in your truck for a while, and thank the good Lord you're not doing that anymore.
Sleeping in the truck was good. I get home extremely tired, home being the truck. I get done, I do a couple reports from the back of the truck while I was staying in the back of the
truck.
On the
generator?
No, not the generator. I used had a catalytic heater. I had my laptop, which was, I used it at the Sunset Beach Inn.
Right.
Hooked up to their network in the back of the truck with the heat, 20 below sleeping bag. And I slept good. It was sleeping real good. But now I've got a room at the Kipta Peak Inn, which is a good thing. And it's comfortable.
Yeah, Ray runs a good show here. He's cleaned this place up a lot from where it was, didn't he?
I have seen zero roaches, and the bathroom is clean.
Wow, and the mattress is pretty comfortable, too, at least in my room.
Yeah, it's comfortable here, too. It's very good. So fishing here is pleasant this year, very, very pleasant. And the fishing's great, and the weather's been incredible. 20 days in a row, that broke my personal best record. At one point, I did 17 days in a row with a 21-foot boat at the Susquehanna Flats, 17 days in a row. Down here at the ocean, basically, 20 days in a row without a blowout. Unbelievable.
Holy smokes. Well, you have that cover on your boat that is good and bad. I think it's good because you get more trips, and it's bad because we can all see you from 10 miles away. But that allows people going with you to get out of the wind and stuff like that. So if it does blow 15, you can go out there and fish and be safe and be protected.
That top has saved me at least 200 trips. At least 200 trips that I maybe could have done, but the people on my boat would have froze their fannies and it wouldn't have been pretty.
Right.
So they would have left not having a great time, but because of the top, they're still able to have a good time. So that top's a savior. Anybody that fishes in the winter, you know, being warm is a good thing.
So just so our listeners know here, you do mostly, or I'd say all, light tackle, and you'll take the fly guys too. You really don't, you do some bait fishing, but that's not your preference, right?
Yeah, that's right. Summertime, I do some bait slinging with families. You know, I get mom, dad, a couple kids. Do some bait slinging for croaker, spot, and that kind of stuff. And then if we get into big schools of stripers, we'll do that with the kids, too, because they'll hit when you can throw plastics at them and catch them.
Right. So down here, though, you're mostly doing light tackle.
All light tackle. At the CBBT, for me, it's all light tackle.
But you'll take some fly guys if they want to come?
Or? Absolutely. Yeah, fly guys. I can get them on the fish and position that boat. I'm not the best fly guy in the world, but I can get the fly guys on the fish, so it's great for that, too.
Well, that's cool. So we're down here the end of December. This is sort of the end of our season. I like to take our listeners with everybody we talk to on here through the whole season to get your sort of tour of the bay, I guess is what you call it, because I know you start, well, I guess you start in the middle bay and then go up, but we'll let you talk about that. So can you take everybody through your year? I know you take, for the most part, you take January off after what I guess here is just a crazy 2 months. Probably catch up on your sleep and then start up in February. So take everybody through that year if you can, you know, month by month or 2 months, however it works.
Okay, hey, that's easy. Here it goes. I'm almost done. Two more days here. So December 30, 31, I'm done here. January, I take quite a few days off, and I'm going to fish. I'm going to fish for fun in the ocean in January. And then February, I'm going on a cruise.
Well, you're definitely not chartering that.
First
well,
cruise
you are,
ever.
You're going to be chartering someone else.
That's right. But I'm that's right. But I'm going on a cruise in February, and then starting in after I get back from the cruise, I'm going to put my boat in Flag Harbor.
Okay.
And start looking at.
And that's in the Middle Bay.
Yeah, in the Middle Bay. Flag Harbor's just north of Solomon's, Patuxent River, about 12 miles.
Okay.
And I'll put the boat in the harbor, and it's only 2 blocks from my house, so it's real easy. And I will be scouting Calvert Cliffs Nuclear Power Plant. And when the fish show up, I got a list of people that want to go fishing, and I'll start scheduling them when the fish show up. But I can go out there 1 hour from my door to the rips and back again, and I can see if fish are there. So I'm going to scout the rips in February, and then once they get there in numbers, I'll fish at the rips February, March.
And can people can call you and get on that list. And then
absolutely.
You work your way down that list to get the trips done.
Sure, and I get people that call me just from Titlefish. I get a lot of people from Titlefish reading about the fish, and they call me. And I've got some normal folks that have fished with me the last few years.
Normal folks, not Titlefish, because they're all crazy.
I mean normal, like Jersey, Pennsylvania
yeah,
folks.
Of course.
Come on down and fish at the Calvert Cliffs with me. And in March, it gets hot there. I mean, very hot. The fishing gets fabulous. Some of the best light tackle striper fishing ever is right at the Calvert Cliffs Nuclear Power Plant.
Yeah, that's a cool spot.
So you get there bright and early in the morning, and you can jig up some 40-plus inch fish quite regular in March. And some days it's all day long. If you can weather the rain, it's fabulous in the rain.
Really?
If it's pouring out and there's hardly no boats out there and the visibility is horrible, it's the best fishing then. If there's a bunch of boats there on a Saturday, it might be good for 2 or 3 hours, and it fizzles.
Dies down.
But, yeah, it dies down. But that's in March, and then late March, I start looking at the Susquehanna Flats. If the water temps start to get 44, 45, Mike Benjamin gives me a call and says...
Mike from our Herb's Tackle up there, right?
Yep, Mike at Herb's Tackle. He'll call me if there's anything going on, and then I can start to schedule trips at the Susquehanna Flats if it's going on.
Got you.
And I normally start booking those trips for April 1 through 3 May. Maybe this year it'll be past 3 May. Depends on what the law is this year.
Right.
So in April, it's the Susquehanna Flats, light tackle, skinny water, getting out, pushing the boat, giant fish,
Where do you take off from, and, you know, people stay, your people stay? I know I launch over, I don't even know, on the other side, but not...
Tidings Park,
I do, yeah.
You launch from Tidings Park. I launch from Owens Landing. It's a condo complex with a boat ramp.
Okay.
Owens, and they have a marina. I launch from there, and people stay at the local hotels.
Got you, okay.
In Perryville or Havre de Grace.
Yeah, Havre de Grace. They have good food up there for everybody. And
yeah, it's really good.
Good
There's
fishing.
A great place up there to hang out at for a bit. But the fishing is fabulous. Light tackle can be out of this world. Sometimes fishing's tough.
Right.
Sometimes it's boom, or, you know, it's incredible, or it can be crappy. Generally, though, if you're fishing with me, I'm going to tell you the day before, 3 bites will be a good day. Let's cancel. Please, cancel.
Right.
So I offer cancels if the fishing stinks, but normally a lot of guys want to go.
You and I fished a few days up there with some friends and had some pretty good fish days.
We fished Easter Sunday a few years ago. I can't remember, 3, 4, I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't remember. You're getting old, I'm not. We fished an Easter, a nasty weather day.
It was nasty.
It was very nasty. We had Country Gerald on the boat, the superfish.
That's right.
And you and I.
It was an adventure, to say the least, right?
Yes, it was. It was a serious adventure.
So that was good fun. So when does that fishery wraps up for you?
Well, May 3rd.
Well, whenever the law.
Yeah, May 3rd typically, but apparently it's going to be maybe different this year. And then in May, generally after the flats, last year I did 47 trips in 25 days of fishing. So I was doing double trips almost
every day. Not sleeping in your truck.
Not sleeping in the truck. I was sleeping in Mike Benjamin's laundry room.
Well, at least it had heat.
It did have heat. So I fished a lot of days. It was dark to dark, a lot of days. And then in May, I kind of take some time off while everybody's trolling up the whoppers. I'm usually trying to catch my breath, and then usually mid-May I start fishing again in the islands of the Eastern Shore. Specks, if they show up in any number, start to show up, and there's always a lot of stripers over there. On light tackle, you catch stripers up into the mid-20-inch range, and it's nice.
This is the middle Chesapeake Bay.
Middle Chesapeake Bay, Honga River, Upper Tangier Sound, Holland Straits, Bloodsworth Island, South Marsh. Those islands, the points, the stump fields.
Right.
And in May, fish will start coming out of the Eastern Shore rivers. And they'll go right into those island areas. You can catch some big fish there in May too, but generally it's 16 inchers to 27 inchers.
But good fun.
A lot of fun, yeah. And light tackle, that's a lot of fun. And if the specks show up, you can catch a lot of specks in there
and
too.
And you launch from the Western Shore when you do that, and then run across.
I launch from Solomon's and run straight across, or Buzz's Marina out of St. Jerome's Creek and go straight across.
Got you.
Depends on the Mother Nature, what's going on, and what's going on with the fishing.
So what happens as the, May, June, we start moving into summer for you?
Well, back in the day, in 2002, 2003, 2004, the week fishing was fabulous.
It was, but good.
It was fabulous. 2002, I had, in the month of June, I only did 8 fishing trips because I was a full-time fishing, I was a full-time military guy at the time. I did 8 trips in the month of June, 2002, and we had 317 week fish. Over 24 inches, several over 30 inches.
Those are big fish.
And that was 2002. 2003, it went down to 50-something big weak fish. 2005 or 2004, it was 30-something. 2005, it was 9 weak fish that were big. This year, 0. So the weak fishing is kind of bad.
Yeah, I think we could do a whole podcast on that whole situation
No doubt about it. So weak fishing, kind of rough. But the month of June, you know, bottom fishing is really good, and stripers start to school up in the summer pattern, so you can start hitting structure out of Solomon's and out of Ridge. The Point Lookout area structure starts to heat up in June, and then as June rolls into July, it gets really good. The bluefish show up in big numbers. Flounder really start to
You'll do the flounder, you'll do trolling for flounder. Is that what
trolling
you do?
Trolling for flounder or drifting.
Got
you. You know, last year I did mainly drifting. For flounder, but if people want to, you know, if it's really serious for flounder, the trolling thing is phenomenal. It can produce big numbers. But June, July, and then into August this year had some serious craziness go on. For 2 weeks in August, we had gigantic red drum for 2 weeks straight. Red drum up to 47 inches on light tackle. And for 2 weeks, I had them every single trip, at least one every single trip, which was just a luck.
Right,
luck,
so that's not something you can count on. But they do, I mean, they do, just depending on water temperature and salinity is what really...
Well, I'm not sure. But those red drums showed up in huge numbers, and I saw them on the surface one day. Once I saw them on the surface, I knew they were there, so every day I was looking for them. And the way I found them was under breaking fish. They were under big... The bigger the blues, the more chance there was a red drum eating the leftovers or whatever the blues were eating. And in one particular day, we caught 6 giant red drum under some bluefish.
Good Lord.
And the one particular day, right 1/2 mile west of the target ship, under breakers, was a 47-inch red drum on 10-pound fire line, 6-foot medium action stick with the 2500 Stratic. That was a screamer.
That's as good as it gets, right?
For quite a while. In fact, the Washington Times did an article on that.
Oh, I think I remember
Mr. Mueller wrote an article and put it right in the Washington Times. Picture of a big red drum. That was sweet. September, we start to get the fall pattern. And
but you're still fishing out of Mill Bay.
Solomon's down to Tangier Sound, but I like my central point is Buzz's Marina, St. Jerome's Creek, because to the right, south, is Point Lookout. Straight across is Holland Island, Holland Straits. Smith Island is just, you know, 17 miles to the southeast. You got 72 is straight across. Point Light is just right out the mouth of the creek. 72A is just to the northeast. It's central. The middle grounds is right there, the target ship. So that's a fabulous central point for me to fish from and generally catch lots of fish out of that area. Fishing
that's
structure
cool. So
and birds.
And then you do that until you come down here in November?
Yeah, November about 7th was my last trip up there, which was smoking in the mud leads with big, nice big stripers for that time of year. And then November 9th, I started down here. And so it was a great full-time, you know, I haven't had a real job since November 2004 when I retired from the Air Force. So I've been jobless for 2 years.
Well, it's a good jobless job, huh?
Yeah, it's a good jobless job. I happen to still be able to keep my house and put gas in my vehicles and feed the kids, and it's fabulous. I have to pinch myself every single morning when I'm on the water.
Yeah, you get up, I come down here and fish, and I see you out there, but you get up really early for me, man. I gotta tell you, I sleep in, but you're up at like 5:30. Got your boat going, and so down here the drill is we talked about, and light tackle can be big fish, but you know if you're not spoiled, you'll appreciate a 24 to 26, 28 inch fish, and you work really hard. You're one of the I know a lot of the guides on the bay, and I think you're one of the hardest working guides out there. So if anybody goes with Pete, I think you better be ready to fish, because you're not going to be sitting around much, because if there are no fish, Pete's moving.
That's true. I don't spin wheels in one spot long. I don't have that kind of patience.
No way, man. You don't sit around. So we stay at the Kipta Peak Inn, go down to Stingrays, and also there's, I think, what's the other? You were at Rockin' Robin?
Rockin' Robin's is a nice little restaurant down there. They're a little cheaper, and the food's pretty good. They take a little while, but you can, you know, have fun chatting with the fishing buddies and while you're waiting for your food, but it's good.
It's good food. So if anybody wants to find Captain Pete on the internet, you can find him at fourseasonsguideservice.com. You can go there and see all, he's got pictures from all, you got pictures from a lot of your trips, right? When you catch up, you post them on there.
Yeah, sure.
Pete's been on ESPN. I think you have something about that on your website, right?
I do still have something on that on the website. In College Park this year at In College Park at the college.
I know, but at the is there a seminar series you're doing?
Yeah,
there?
A national seminar series with Saltwater Sportsman Magazine.
Oh, cool.
With Paul Vromo.
What date is that?
George Paul Vromo being the host. That's January 27th.
January 27th, College Park,
yeah,
Maryland.
Yeah, at the college, at
right
the University
there.
Of Maryland.
So you could you have yeah. information on that on your website?
Not on my website, but I'm going to have it on my website. But if you want,
they could Google the College Park
or Saltwater Sportsman.
Saltwater Sportsman.
Google Saltwater Sportsman Magazine and go to the National Seminar Series, and then that would give all the information there.
Cool. And you do a lot of the fishing shows, so people can see you there. I think you. Which ones are you doing this year?
I'll be at Timonium, hanging out with Advanced Marine at their booth,
mm-hmm.
and I'll have stuff there. And then Upper Marlboro, I'll have a booth at Upper Marlboro. Plus, I'm a speaker at Upper Marlboro at the. What's it called?
It's the Equestrian Center, I think. The Equestrian Center, right.
Yeah,
and what are you going to talk about during...
We had a flats fishery.
For the
Upper Marlboro.
Upper Marlboro,
show, yeah.
And what about for Saltwater Sportsmen?
Saltwater Sportsmen, that's a forum where if you look on the website, it shows all the different topics, and I'll be part of that. I'm not going to be the speaker in that at all. I'm just going to be part of that team.
Okay.
Mike Benjamin will be with me, along with Mark Galasso.
Mark Glosser from Tuna of the Tide out of Kent Island. He fishes down here,
too. We're
going
to have a lot of fun with that. So George will be the moderator, and Mark and I and Mike will be...
Panel,
talking about whatever George throws at us.
Got you.
It'll be a lot of fun, and if you go to that, you get a whole lot of stuff in your little grocery bag. Even you know, pay
yeah,
the
I heard about
fee,
that. You get $50 gift
stuff.
Certificate to Boaters World and all this other stuff, I
Craziness.
Think.
You get a lot of stuff.
Good stuff. So, Pete, thanks a lot for doing this. I know it's getting late. I don't even know what time it is, but, well, it's late
quarter
for us.
Nine.
It's quarter nine, late for you, right? You got to get up early and get rolling
yeah.
out of here. So,
sure.
We appreciate you doing this podcast. And, again, if you want to find Captain Pete, book a trip with him, find out more about him, get his contact information, you can go on the internet, fourseasonsguideservice.com. Thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Pete.
You're welcome.